In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me begin by saying again, Happy Mother's Day. Very blessed Mother's Day to moms. We give thanks for all Christian mothers. Later in the service, we will. Let's be honest, one day of the year doesn't seem right. This is the woman who gave up 9 months carrying you through the morning sickness, cravings, labor, the delivery room, another year or two without rest to comfort and feed you in the middle of the night, through the terrible twos and the terrible teens. She weathered all of our storms. She prayed for God's grace and mercy to be upon us as we wandered off. She gave up her life for her children, and we set aside one day. Setting aside one day is nice, but it just doesn't come close. Taking her out to eat, nice cards, some flowers, chocolates, maybe something like that. It's all good and nice and appreciated, but it just doesn't measure up in light of the sacrificial, unconditional love that mom has poured out since the moment of conception, and even all these years later. There is nothing like the love of a mother, and she never stops loving you. Yes, the highest vocation of all is that of Christian mother. The gospel tells us, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." These words are most commonly spoken at a funeral or at a graveside service. Most recently among us, these words were spoken at the home of Emma Early, following Bob's 98 years on this earth and 71 years of married life. Emma's here today. Death parted them. No words can console a heart that is saddened by death except God's word. When the Lord calls me home, these words are what I want read to my family. Only John of the gospel writers records these words. Jesus prepares our hearts, and then he prepares our home. Chapters 14 to 17, Jesus gives reason after reason to believe in God, believe also in me, he says. So when even the very bottom itself seems to have fallen and our lives seem to crumble, then let not your heart be troubled. Incredible. Jesus speaks these words right after he shared the Lord's Supper. Right after Judas left to do his work, right before he heads out to the garden, he has a heart-to-heart with his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. They didn't come to him with a message, but he had words for them. Before heading out to the garden, and before he is handed over and mocked and flogged and crucified and died, he was facing his final hours. He is the Word made flesh, the Son of God, who came to us to reveal to us that which is eternal. When you are suffering, with a troubled heart, and fear overshadows everything. Troubles that hits deep in the soul. Maybe God's ways seem unfair, or maybe he even seems against you. Maybe Satan is working to say God doesn't care about you at all. That is a troubled heart. Jesus says to his disciples and to you and to me, "Let not your hearts be troubled." That is a command. A strange one. He knows that by this time tomorrow, he will be a corpse laid in Joseph's tomb. What is it with his confidence that he demands his disciples to have? In other words, trust me. Politicians look at you and say, "Trust me," and those trusts are broken. Jesus says to you and me, "Trust me." And Jesus has kept every one of his promises. Not one has he not kept. Rest assured, he will keep them all. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe that all the gods are the same, and you end up the same destination, let your heart be troubled. If it doesn't matter what you believe, then let your hearts be troubled. Let them be very troubled. Let your heart be so troubled that you cry out to the God of mercy. Believe in God. Believe also in his Son, Jesus Christ. Then your hearts will not be troubled. As Jesus faced his death, he said, "Now my soul is troubled." He was in agony. And he is saying, on the one hand, let your hearts not be troubled. Why is he not taking his own advice? Because he is hemmed in by our sin that he has taken upon himself, our fear and our troubled hearts, and his heart is troubled. We are reminded in the book of Hebrews that we do not have a high priest who does not identify with our weakness. Isn't it interesting that only after he finished speaking with his Father and he meets his betrayer, with confidence he walks the road. He seems to go through the whole ordeal with peace. The Father has answered his prayer. Stand firm in the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be silent. He has atoned for your sins and died the death that you deserved. Yes, he has prepared a place for you, that special place in heaven and communion with God, which was denied by the Sadducees. To the Sadducees, heaven was denied. They did not acknowledge the existence of heaven. The Sadducees and the Pharisees hated each other. And the only time they came together was for their hatred for Jesus. On that memorable evening, I am going to prepare a place for you. And with these words, our Lord made clear that heaven is a reality. Our faith in Jesus will continue into all eternity and free from death and pain and tears. And the expression, "In my Father's house are many rooms." People who believe will spend all eternity in the presence of God. Thomas had no problem admitting his confusion, his lack of understanding, his lostness. "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Often we are lost like a maze. But we don't want to admit it. Sin muddies the waters. It takes us off course. It turns us all around. In fact, according to our sinful nature, our destination is not a very pleasant one at all. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many go. So it is written, narrow is the way to salvation, and few enter it. Sin is a road that leads to death, and this road is so downhill that we cannot escape the destination. We are barreling headlong and helpless toward a dead end in every sense of the word. Jesus, who knows our condition well, knows which way we're going. Unlike us, Jesus knows where he is going. Unlike us, he is not lost or astray. Jesus has the course charted out. He knew the way, and that road and that path led always to the cross. The way of the cross, that's Jesus' way. And yes, he has now ascended to the Father. Jesus does promise to return to us someday, either when we too pass through the grave and the gate of death, or if we should live to see the day that he comes again in glory. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the truth. He is the only truth. Jesus is the life, the only life. He has prepared your heart, and he has prepared your home. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us stand and confess the faith.